Thank you, Mr. Chair. We wanted to address paragraphs 23 and 24. First, before doing so, we wanted to thank the Palestinian delegation for considering U.S. practice and for the very constructive spirit with which he received our comments yesterday, as well as the Palestinian delegation's detailed suggestions. Of course, we'll need some time to consider those, and we have also been thinking about how to dig beneath the labels and find common ground with other delegations. Just as an initial reaction, though I thought I heard common elements that were found in the proposals that the U.S. has supported, and I also thought it was very useful how the Palestinian delegation distinguished between measures for developers and measures for users to implement. That's a very practical organization that makes the measures be more implementable and more effective. And overall, this is the kind of exchange that the U.S. delegation wants to have in the GGE, you know, with others about these kinds of technical issues. So thank you very much. Regarding paragraph 23, as we indicated in our opening statement, we are very concerned with some of the language here. Most significantly, IHL does not, as such, require that persons, quote, be in a position to interrupt, disable, or otherwise control the weapon system or system functions. From our perspective, the qualifier, if feasible, does not fully address these concerns because it suggests that the default is a requirement for the human operator to be in a position to control the system during its operation after activation. While this may be warranted in certain circumstances, there are many circumstances in which it may not be warranted. In fact, there are systems that are deliberately designed to operate without human intervention following activation. For example, to enable enhanced precision, precision that is greater than is possible with human control, or because of the nature of the operational environment, such as underwater. Moreover, weapon systems can be designed to deactivate or self-destruct if necessary without human intervention. The U.S. and many other states that are parties to the CCW have so-called fire and forget weapons systems, and they have been used for years without controversy. There are many, many such systems manufactured by a variety of states and possessed by the militaries of many, many more states. From our perspective, we cannot accept language that would impose a new legal requirement on existing weapon systems, nor can we accept the notion that older, less accurate weapons are held to a lower standard, while new types of weapons that are potentially more accurate and more precise are held to a higher standard. Our second major concern is that the paragraph is too vague. It suggests that IHL already has clear rules for the operation of these weapon systems. IHL, however, does not regulate the use of weapon systems as such. Rather, it has rules that govern attacks. And the GGE has already made progress in past reports identifying distinction, proportionality, and precautions in attack as of particular relevance. Therefore, we think it's important to include the notion of attack for legal accuracy. We also think it's important to be more specific about the IHL rule in question. It's not readily implementable to tell the weapon system operators to comply with all IHL and expect them to figure out on their own what rules are relevant. There's one other substantive issue that we would flag with this paragraph, and that's the notion of the authority of those operating the weapon systems and those responsible for the attack. In some cases, those persons might be the same person. In other cases, the commander responsible for the attack is not the person operating the weapon system. The system operator has to follow the commander's guidance, including the commander's guidance, to comply with the law of war. So we would like just to clarify that those responsible for taking decisions on the attack are not necessarily the same ones as those operating the weapon system. I'll read our proposal, and of course we can send it to the Secretariat. our proposal would read, those responsible for an attack involving the use of a weapon system based on emerging technologies in the area of laws, who are in a position to do so, comma, must cancel or suspend the attack by interrupting, disabling, or otherwise controlling the system or system functions, comma, or ordering subordinates to take such actions, comma, if required by international humanitarian law. Another option from our perspective would be to retain the language about operators being in a position to interrupt, disable, or otherwise control the system, but would try to orient this idea within an existing IHL requirement, specifically the requirement to take feasible precautions in attack. And so commanders considering using these kinds of weapon systems to conduct an attack may need to assess whether having the system operators in a position to interrupt, control, or disable the system, you know, would be a feasible precaution as required by IHL. We're happy to engage further with you, Mr. Chair, and other delegations on specific language or other ideas for addressing our concerns with this paragraph. Moving on to paragraph 24, we wanted to comment on three particular subparagraphs. First, we proposed deleting subparagraph B. From our perspective, the design of the weapon is conceptually distinct from the attribution of responsibility. Regarding subparagraph C and the reference to training, quote, on the circumstances that trigger the application of force, we do not think this language is technically correct. From our perspective, a user needs to understand the likely consequences of using the system, and of course the risks of using the system, but we do not think it is accurate to characterize all the systems in question as being triggered by the circumstances. Under our conception, autonomous weapon systems can select and engage targets. They're not triggered by the circumstances. Moreover, the specific technical triggers for when a system will engage a target might be very technical in terms of the engineering of the system and not readily understood by operators. You know, for example, an operator with using an active protection system does not need to understand precisely what technical triggers will result in the system engaging a target. Rather, from our perspective, the operator needs to be trained on the proper use of the system. Therefore, we propose deleting on the circumstances that trigger the application of force. We suggest replacing it with a reference to training on the proper use of the system. On subparagraph D, the term ensure is inappropriate from our perspective as laws and procedures cannot ensure assessment and attribution. Instead, laws and procedures enable appropriate assessment. We suggest changing ensure to enable and removing attribution so it reads D, relevant laws and procedures that enable assessment of individual responsibility and appropriate accountability. We understand that some delegations may have concerns with addressing individual accountability issues in the context of the CCW, although we'd prefer to keep these measures in the document as a spirit of compromise, we'd also be okay with omitting them. Thank you, Mr. Chair.